All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. Today is a mock draft Monday where I will be looking at a recent mock draft and who they have the Falcons selecting, as well as a mailbag Monday where I will be answering your listener questions.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode of Locked On Falcons is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. So today, guys, we got a lot of great content for you coming up. We get into the mailbag portion of today's episode. Towards the end of the show, we'll be answering several questions, including whether or not I would take Kyle Pitts over two of the top quarterbacks in the draft. We'll talk quite a bit about Kyle Pitts today as part of our mock draft portion of Monday's episode. But as far as the mailbag goes, we'll talk about Ja'Marr Chase reminding us of a non-Julio Jones Falcon wide receiver. We'll talk about whether or not the Penny Sewell ship has sailed as far as the Falcons targeting him with their first round pick, and we'll get into some other topics of discussion. But first, let's sort of jump off with the mock draft portion of today's episode. And I sort of was struggling looking around to find some mock drafts to break down, some interesting mock drafts to break down, because a lot of them that I saw had the Falcons selecting Kyle Pitts with that fourth overall selection. And, you know, obviously part of me is thinking, like, you know, that'd be pretty cool. But, you know, I happen to also sort of think now that I didn't necessarily think a week ago, but now I kind of think that the Falcons will ultimately take a quarterback at that four selection. Although I do think Pitts is definitely a possibility, and certainly of the non-quarterback options, I think he will be at the top of the list. But normally this would be an opportunity for me to sort of take a victory lap, which I will to a certain extent. And I apologize to any brand new listeners that are wondering, is this what every episode is going to be like? And I say no. For the most part, it's every other episode where I sort of congratulate myself rather than every episode. I've discussed this quite a bit on this podcast for the last 7+ weeks, I think, now on podcasts as well as on Twitter, of the Falcons taking Kyle Pitts making a lot of sense. And it basically stems from the reaction that I first noticed when, on either February 10th or February 11th, when Matt Miller, formerly of Bleacher Report, posted his first mock draft of the season. I think he had the Falcons selecting Kyle Pitts with that fourth overall selection. And my stance at the time, when I saw a lot of people sort of react to it and scoff at that and say this is ridiculous, was like, hey, it makes a lot of sense once you spend more than like 12 seconds thinking about it. And, you know, I went over those reasons explicitly on an episode of this podcast back on February 22nd of why I thought Kyle Pitts made a lot more sense than over someone like a Penny Sewell, an offensive lineman like Penny Sewell. And, you know, I'll sort of give the Cliff Notes version, although I do wonder if I'm dating myself when I use terms like Cliff Notes, because that's what they were called when I was in school, although I think they were Spark Notes by the time I graduated from high school. But I do wonder, you know, if most people, when I say Cliff Notes, know what I'm talking about. And certainly I know people overseas probably don't know what I'm talking about when I say it, but that's a digression. Anyway, I do wonder, the short version of what I said on that February 2nd, 22nd episode, for why it makes sense for the Falcons draft Kyle Pitts, is he's a unicorn of a tight end, which is a position specifically that the Falcons do not have a long-term solution at, because Hayden Hurst is not really a long-term solution at that position. And he would be potentially going to an offense helmed by Arthur Smith that features the tight end prominently, especially in the red zone, which was arguably the team's most glaring weakness a year ago. And he also allows the offense to attack the middle of a defense, which is the most vulnerable area of a defense to exploit via the passing game. And he would also create a mismatches over the middle or on the outside that, given the inevitable departure of Julio Jones in the future, that Kyle Pitts would be able to fill that void as the guy that can create one-on-ones for the rest of the group, because he's constantly drawing double teams and he's more capable, or at least potentially more capable of doing that than, say, a Calvin Ridley would be. And so he sort of fits in that mold as well. So those are some of the main bullet points. I could probably give another half dozen reasons why it makes sense for the Falcons to draft Kyle Pitts. But all of this is to sit here and say is that it's funny to me because now Kyle Pitts has become a very popular projection, potentially even the most popular projection for the Falcons at pick four. And that just fills me with sort of a petty joy going back to those people that kind of, again, 7 weeks ago, scoffed at the notion of the Falcons drafting him. And it's not, you know, and I have this love-hate relationship with mock drafts, but it's not because I dislike mock drafts. I actually enjoy mock drafts. I just hate how people overreact to mock drafts. And this, to me, is a perfect example of that. And that, you know, to me, when I look at a mock draft, particularly one before free agency, I look at it more as the possibility. I look at it and I say, oh, what, you know, like when I saw Kyle Pitts being the pick for the Falcons, that was really kind of the first time I had seen anybody project him to that. And my immediate reaction is like to think about what would be the scenario that would lead to the Falcons wanting to take Kyle Pitts at four. And to me, like, it took like 12 seconds for me to figure out that scenario. And rather than just simply scoffing him, like, you shouldn't do that, that would be a terrible pick or whatever, it's like, oh, like, in a world where the Falcons did not love these quarterbacks and wanted to go with a non-position player, as I explained earlier, like, Kyle Pitts kind of makes the most sense for this team, just from a pure value standpoint. That if you're going to, you know, if you're going to draft, you know, I think most people now agree that the consensus around, you know, the world, at least as far as the draft goes, is that Kyle Pitts is the best non-quarterback in this draft class. And so, like, that sort of vision, you know, and again, I don't sit here and pretend that, like, I'm the only person on the planet that saw this, but it's just, like, funny to me that, like, now that has become the overwhelming consensus. And so, like, I just imagine a lot of those people that back in February were like, this is ridiculous. Like, they either have to go down two places, right? One, they have to either sort of double down on that opinion of being like, taking Kyle Pitts at four is ridiculous, and anybody that thinks Kyle Pitts is worth the fourth overall pick is an idiot and stupid and whatever. Or they have to take a more reasonable approach, which is being like, hey, man, like, you know what? I kind of overreacted to that mock in February, and now I understand that, like, this makes a lot more sense than I was initially willing to give it credence to, and maybe that leads me to not necessarily overreact to mock drafts in the future, particularly pre-free agency mock drafts. But we all kind of know that that's not going to happen. We already know that basically everybody that was scoffing at Kyle Pitts is either found a way to make it work without having to admit their own sort of shortcomings in that regard, or they are doubling down. So, you know, I just find that personally funny because I enjoy people having to go through the gymnastics of, you know, of avoiding self-reflection when it comes to their opinions about football, because we just know that the type of person that is humble and self-reflective that would have to sort of be like, oh, maybe I overreacted to a mock draft 7 weeks ago, is not the type of person that also goes on Twitter and tweets their thoughts about football teams, myself included. So, like, you know, it's just, we already know what the type of person is. So I just find it all funny, just how sort of like passionate people get about like silly stuff in the long run. And with that being said, we'll continue today's podcast by giving you the 12 reasons why Lee Smith was a bad trade. No, I'm kidding. oh, there we go. So, you know, and I do look forward to if and when the Falcons do not select Kyle Pitts, with that fourth overall selection, some of those same people will be like, see, I told you so. I told you so. They were never going to do it. And it's like, they'll just double down, just doubling down on it. So we have more to talk about Kyle Pitts coming up on today's episode, as well as getting into more questions from the mailbag. We'll talk about whether Kyle Pitts' pro day will push the Falcons closer towards drafting him with that fourth overall selection, or whether or not I would take him over two top quarterbacks if and when the Falcons are on the clock. And we'll get into that on today's episode. But before we get there, guys, I do want to plug the MLB side of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find a daily podcast devoted to your favorite baseball team, including the Atlanta Braves. Follow the Locked On Braves podcast, hosted by Dylan Short, wherever you get your podcasts. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL might be over, but the NBA, NHL, NASCAR, FCS college football are all in full swing. And now Major League Baseball is joining the party as well. And of course, BetOnline is where you need to go to take advantage of March Madness with tonight's big game between Gonzaga and Baylor, where as of this recording, Gonzaga is favored by 4.5 points. But whether you're into betting on basketball games or other sports, BetOnline has you covered elsewhere. As they cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV, you can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine because BetOnline is the place to go, and it has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Just head over to the website, use a mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get that 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So you guys know that I have you covered on all things Falcons, but what about the rest of sports? Well, host Peter Bukowski has you covered now with the Locked On Today podcast. It's all the sports news that you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So our first question comes from Javon Lugo at Tiger Lugo on Twitter. He has, so with Kyle's freak-like measurements, Kyle Pitts, that is, would that push the Falcons to draft him as being able to help the line and be a nightmare matchup for the opposing linebackers? Well, Javon, I would say that I don't think anybody learned anything new about Kyle Pitts from his pro day and his freak-like measurements. I think everybody already knew he was a freak before. And so if you didn't know that, you need to get your eyes checked. So, no, I don't think his freak-like measurements moved the needle for the Falcons. I think they were already on, you know, board with potentially selecting Kyle Pitts at number 4. And I don't think anything that's occurred over the last week will change that. Our next question comes from Billy Boone at BillyBo0864-9946. And Billy asks, hey, Aaron, I listen to you every morning on the way to work. Been listening to you since Falc fans. You have a great take on Falcons football. Appreciate it, Billy. If Pitts, Fields, or Lance are available at number 4 and the Falcons don't trade down, who would you pick? So if I was forced to choose, I'd probably take whichever the two quarterbacks, whichever one of the quarterbacks that I thought was going to be the better quarterback prospect. I don't necessarily have an opinion on that right now because I've procrastinated on watching the quarterbacks so far. A situation I do hope to rectify by the end of the week because we will have a guest come on to talk more about these quarterbacks. But based off of what I have seen of both, I do, however, do think Kyle Pitts is a better overall prospect than either one of those guys. But just the potential of the quarterback makes it worth taking, you know, I guess the third or fourth person on my board as opposed to number 2, that would presumably be Kyle Pitts. So I don't really have a strong opinion about this. And like, I don't have any intention of getting a strong opinion to the point of having an idea of who I think the Falcons should take by the time we get to the draft. Like, it, to me, I'm like not that invested into it. And part of it is just simply like, I know from doing this podcast over the last 4+ years and even going back to the FalcFans.com days, RIP, that like, I know for the podcast, consistently the two most listened to episodes of the podcast over the course of a year are going to be the Friday morning episode after night one of the draft. So my rapid reaction to whoever the Falcons take in round one, and then the Monday morning, which is my rapid reaction to the Falcons week one game. And those typically are my most listened to shows. And again, going back to the FalcFans.com days, it wasn't necessarily those specific days, but those specific months of April and September, the traffic on the website would spike. So like, I know, I say all that because I know for me, like who I think the Falcons should take is an opinion that you think you care about, but ultimately you only really care about the opinion, or at least the way I interpret it, is you ultimately only care about my opinion on who the Falcons actually do take, right? And like, for me, it's one of those things I've learned over the years, because many, many years ago, like I did 300+ scouting reports of everybody in that 2011 draft class. And that happened to be a draft where the Falcons traded away most of their picks. And I only had maybe scouting reports on like 4 or 5 of the guys that the Falcons drafted. I think I watched one Andrew Jackson game. And so I was able to throw up a scouting report on him just off of one game, but like just to have one. And so like, I know where it is to sort of do all the homework. And like, I say all that because like, I don't necessarily have done enough research to have an informed opinion on who I think the Falcons should take. Like, that's not something I should just watch a couple of games. Like, I'll be honest with you. I've watched two Kyle Pitts games. Two. Right? Like, I'm the Kyle Pitts guy, but I've barely watched him, you know, this offseason. So it's like, it's one of those things where, like, I just, like, I'm not going to do the amount of research in order to come to an opinion on, here's my board, here's my top five players on my draft board, and here's who I think the Falcons should take. Like, I'm just not going to do the legwork required in order to have an informed opinion about that. I can watch two games and be like, yeah, I think Kyle Pitts is better prospect than, you know, the two games I've seen of Trey Lance or whatever the case may be. But, like, other than just sort of a general sort of like, yeah, my gut feeling is that, you know, a unicorn of a tight end is better than a good quarterback prospect, but not in the elite all-time great quarterback prospect. But who knows at this point in time? So I'm meandering to a certain extent, but, like, for me, it's one of those things where, like, I'm not that invested in who the Falcons take. I know that's a weird thing to say. The reason why I don't have that opinion, like, let's say the Falcons do wind up taking quarterback, right? And, like, you know, there's a lot of people online right now that are very invested in the Falcons taking a quarterback because I think they sort of either, whether they choose to admit it or not, kind of have convinced themselves that whoever the Falcons take as a quarterback is going to be the savior that's going to single-handedly sort of bring the Falcons this their much-coveted Lombardi trophy. And whether they care to admit it or not, like, they've built it into their head. That's why they're so invested in the Falcons taking this quarterback versus that quarterback, because they believe that that quarterback is going to help this team win Super Bowls. And what's interesting is you contrast that with the other group of Falcon fans that are very vocal on Twitter and other spaces nowadays that basically believe that the Falcons already have that quarterback in Matt Ryan, and that the one failing of the team is that they haven't built the right team around Matt Ryan, that quarterback. And so, like, there's a lesson in that, where, which is, like, even if you want the team to draft a quarterback, like, ultimately that pick is not as consequential as the team that you put around that team. Around the quarterback, that even if you hit on the quarterback, even if you drafted Deshaun Watson or that level of player who's a top five quarterback in this league, like, if you don't put the right team around them, it doesn't matter. And so, like, the way I sort of view it is, like, this is one of 20 moves that the Falcons are going to have to make over the next X number of years. While you can make the argument that particularly if it's a quarterback or not a quarterback, that this potentially could be the most pivotal out of those 20 moves, I don't think this one move outweighs the other 19. And so I'm more interested in the 20 moves that the Falcons do wind up making rather than one individual move. And so that's part of the reason why, like, I'm not that invested. Like, I care about who the Falcons draft, don't get me wrong. But, like, in terms of being like, this is my guy and this is who I think the Falcons should draft, like I think Penei Sewell isn't in my top five of people that I would like to see the Falcons draft at four. But it's not because I'm down on Penei Sewell. He's number six, right? Like, you know, and it's just like, I would prefer other players to drafting Penei Sewell, but I wouldn't be upset in the slightest at the Falcons drafting Penei Sewell. So it's all to sit here and say, like, you know, Billy, you asked me, like, who I think the Falcons should take, but, like, ultimately I don't really have a strong opinion about that. It's just like, I don't know, just throw a dart at the board and pick a guy. Like, you know, like, it's not something that I'm that invested in. I'm more invested in, like, how the Falcons solve certain holes on their roster in later rounds of the draft, because they're not going to be able to solve a hole in that first round. The chances are pretty high that regardless of who the Falcons draft in round one, that player is probably not going to have that much impact in year one, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's Kyle Pitts, whether it's an offensive tackle like Penei Sewell, that the chances are, like, you know, an offensive tackle like Penei Sewell probably will play a lot more than a quarterback or a tight end would, will play a lot more than a wide receiver probably would. But, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that player is going to come in right away and have this huge success. Like, I'm more curious about what the Falcons are going to do in rounds 2 through 7, where now they're going to suddenly have to start filling needs, right? Where we sit here and we talk about best player available and all that and sort of stuff, and, like, that will be the guiding principle. But the reality of most teams drafting is, like, most teams draft best player available in the first two rounds. Like, contrary to the Falcons, what Dimitroff says and say, oh, we're a needs-based team, but they generally go best player available more often than not in the first two rounds, and they only really start drilling down on need in round 3, right? Like, the reason why they take a certain position is not because it was, you know, like, Isaiah Oliver wasn't a need pick in 2018, guys, right? In round 2, that wasn't a need pick. Calvin Ridley certainly was not a need pick in the first round of that draft, right? They needed bodies at those positions, but wide receiver and cornerback were not their two most pressing needs. They drafted those two guys first in that draft because they thought they were the best players available at that point in the draft. And then in round three, when they started drafting Deidre Sinnott and all of those guys thereafter, that's when they were really focusing on, we're taking needs and we're going to take the best player at this specific position that we need at the draft. Most teams do that. That's why, you know, like I'm not going to belabor the point anymore, but like, that's what I'm curious to see what this new regime's approach is. Like, are they going to veer from that? Are they, you know, we talk best player available, BPA, BPA, this and all that. But at the end of the day, are we going to be sitting there in round four and the Falcons need to take another safety? And are the Falcons going to take a, you know, I don't know, a tight end or something like that, you know, a position that they don't really need, right? Like, that's what I'm curious about. So we'll see. I don't know. After meandering through that answer, we still have more questions to answer on today's episode, including if Jamar Chase is very reminiscent of Roddy White and if the Falcons are prepared to use that second round pick on a quarterback should they pass up one in round one, as well as talking about whether or not the ship carrying Penei Sewell to the Falcons has sailed completely. And we'll get into that coming up on today's episode. But you guys have heard me talk up a good game about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. All Built Bars have 100% real chocolate in them, so they taste just like a candy bar. They come in a bevy of delicious flavors, including coconut brownie chunk, which won the Built Bar March Madness tournament. But you can also find flavors like cookies and cream, double chocolate, salted caramel, peanut butter brownie, mint brownie, cherry barcia, and so much more. And Built Bars aren't just tasty, they're healthy too. They're low in sugar and calories, high in protein and fiber. I like using them as low calorie meal replacements for breakfast and lunch. You can use them for pre or post workout energy boosts, however you want. Just head over to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. So it's April and the Locked On NFL Network of podcasts is shifting into draft mode. April 19th through 23rd, check out the ultimate 2021 mock draft featuring analysis from yours truly, as well as other so-called experts like Michael Irvin, Brian Baldinger, and Michael Lombardi. Find out who trades up, who trades back, who selects who, and stay tuned for more info about where you can find the ultimate 2021 mock draft. So Stephen Bounds asked our last three questions, and his first question is, notice some similarities between measurements of Jamar Chase and Roddy White. Any thoughts on how they compare as players? Now, I looked it up, and you're right. They did test very similarly. Roddy at his pro day at UAB, you know, 16 years ago, and Jamar Chase at his pro day this past week at LSU tested very similarly. But I think other than sort of physicality, I don't think there's much overlap between Chase and Roddy. I think there's much more similarities between Chase and Julio than there are between Chase and Roddy. Steven's next question is, should the Falcons consider reserving pick 35 for quarterback and just taking the best one available? Should the Falcons be interested in Deshaun Watson's situation in case he's available next year? So I'll answer your second question first. I think all 32 NFL teams should be monitoring the Deshaun Watson situation because he's a top five quarterback, as I said. And should he change teams at some point in the next few months or the next few years, that is certainly going to be something that other teams are going to have to pay attention to because it's going to wind up disrupting the division and or the conference of whichever team he goes to. But I would say this, as far as the Falcons specifically, until or unless he is exonerated of all his sexual misconduct issues, and that's probably the lightest and the kindest way I could put all the allegations leveled at him currently, I doubt the Falcons would be particularly interested in taking on that sort of firestorm until those issues are resolved. As for your first question, the short answer is no. I think kind of drafting a quarterback after round one, at least statistically, is kind of a waste of a draft pick. The chances of you hitting on a starter are so low. Now, if you're drafting a guy purely to be a backup, then yeah, it makes sense to draft a quarterback. But if, particularly in rounds two, three, and to a lesser extent, round four, you can find starters at other positions. So drafting a player specifically to be a backup quarterback is kind of a waste of a pick. So I think in the scenario where the Falcons pass on one of the big five quarterbacks at the top of round one, And that includes Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. And I think all five of those guys will wind up being top 10 picks at this current point. But I think the next four guys seem to be Kyle Trask, Jamie Newman, Davis Mills, and Kellen Mond in some order. And those will probably be the next four quarterbacks taken. And they'll probably all be taken at some point between rounds two and rounds four. And I kind of think that there's a very good chance that at least one of those guys is going to be there in round four. And so if the Falcons do not take a quarterback in round one, I would say to them, wait until round four and take who is the best of whoever's left. Because at that point in time, you're drafting a backup anyway, in all likelihood, right? The chances of you finding the next Derek Carr are very low. If you don't take that quarterback at the top of the draft. Now, maybe I would have a different answer if I had done my homework on all these guys and watched each one of these guys and thought one was clearly better than the other. But because I haven't done that, I kind of all sort of lumped them into the same group of like talented but flawed quarterbacks that probably are too flawed to be reliable starters in the NFL. And maybe by the time we get to the draft, maybe I will have watched a little bit more of these guys, and maybe I'll be willing to revise that opinion. But essentially my take on is if Falcons don't take a quarterback in round one, I would wait until round four and take whoever's the best of whoever's left. And reality simply says, if you're looking for a backup, you might as well just wait till like round six or seven, because at that point in time in the draft, your chances of hitting on a decent quarterback are basically the same as it would be drafting any non-quarterback at that point in time. And so it doesn't feel like as much of a waste. So yeah, I would wait till day three of the draft and just basically take a body at that point in time. Stephen Bounds' last question is, some Falcon fans on draft Twitter seem to be holding on to that Sewell dream. Isn't it time they be told it's not happening? Look, I wouldn't completely shut the door on the Falcons drafting Sewell. I don't think it's likely. I don't think it's the likeliest of the, you know, again, I think, as I've maintained since mid-February, that if the Falcons do not go quarterback, I think they'll probably take a pass catcher like Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase. I think those are the two likeliest picks. But Sewell's on the list, right? You know, I think he's probably like five or six on the list of candidates. So I wouldn't completely shut the door on that. I think there's reasons to think that they would target Penei Sewell with that pick if they're absolutely in love with him. I remember there was a quote that Arthur Smith said to Jeff Schultz in his Film Watch article. Let me look it up real quickly. Do the power of editing. And Arthur Smith said to Jeff Schultz, he said, "And we pride ourselves at our core the way we're going to play up front with effort and finish and speed off the football." And so if you take that one quote out of context and say, look, he's describing Penei Sewell to a T in that regard, and if that's what the identity he wants to establish, then that means that the Falcons could wind up taking Penei Sewell with this pick, right? It wouldn't be my preferred pick out of the options available to the team, but I wouldn't sit here and say it's a bad pick, you know? So, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, you know, hey, you guys should stop talking about the Falcons wanting to draft Penei. Like, no, man, just let people be who they want to be, you know? Like, I don't know, Steven, this question seems somewhat antagonistic towards people having the audacity to give their opinion about draft pick. And I feel like we're in a dark place as a community in Falcons Twitter. You know, I'm trying to do my best to sort of patch things, but it seems like this is a train that I can't stop. So I don't know, man. It's just like, look, man, if people, like, I don't know. It's just like, let people live. I don't know. I have no other thoughts. I'm rambling at this point in time. So I'll just leave it at that. So there you guys have it. Don't know what we'll talk about tomorrow's episode, but you know, I'll probably wind up fishing for Twitter questions if I don't have any immediate ideas or there isn't something that immediately pops into my head. And then later in the week, starting on Wednesday, we'll have some guests, for the remainder of the week, and, look forward to that, guys. We'll talk a lot more about these quarterbacks by the end of the week as well. So you can look forward to that. If you have questions that you want to send in for future mailbags, including tomorrow's possible Twitter Tuesday episode, of course, you can hit me up on Twitter at Locked On Falcons. You can hit me up on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com.